You're listening to Feminist Killjoys, an hour of PhD.
Okay, take two.
Thousand feet up, breaking all the lights on the doors, and I ain't seen no ceilings. We came in through the top floor.
You're listening to Feminist Killjoys, PhD, an hour of feminism, pop culture, and politics, as discussed by two professional killjoys.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Melody.
And today we'll be discussing stress and burnout, and what to do in response to those things in terms of self-care, specifically around the holidays, the end of the semester, the general state of the world, all things that so many of us are dealing with. But first, Melody, where can our listeners find us on the internet?
Everywhere. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can leave us a review. We'll read a few choice ones in just a moment. You can follow us on Instagram. We have a Facebook community group, which I figured out how to spy on now. I got the app.
Yay, Melody's back in it.
Yep. Thank you to whoever. I can't remember who it was. But anyways, I got the app, and that's very helpful. It's very useful. So thank you. And anyways, we have a Twitter thing, account, whatever you want to call it. We have a mixtape on Spotify, aptly titled The Feminist Killjoys PhD Mixtape. And if you have extra dollars and want to support feminist media makers, you can donate on our website. Just click on the bird, or you can donate to our Patreon account, and a shout out for that coming up in just 1 second. Also, we have a website, feministkilljoyspodcast.com, and you can email us always at fkj.phd@gmail.com.
Cool. Yeah, we just want to give a shout out to our most recent Patreoner, donator, whatever you call those things. Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. We're really, really grateful for your monthly contribution. It's super helpful for us. We are very close to upgrading our equipment, and donations from y'all help make that possible. So we're very appreciative. And so, yeah, that's great. And also, a free way to help support us is to leave us iTunes reviews, and we've been getting more of those, and I'm so happy about that. It, like, makes our day. I wanted to read a couple. Two were super nice, and one was hilarious, but not quite as nice. So this one is from at Audrey. They say, my roommate loves Feminist Killjoys PhD. When I became more involved in wanting to learn about feminist issues, how to analyze and critique through a feminist lens, she suggested this podcast. I hope your audience base increases because I really enjoy listening to your topics. These are things that are very important to talk about. I always appreciate their ever-present acknowledgement of intersectionality, of white privilege that simultaneously exists with being a woman. This is something I struggle with, recognizing privilege while fighting for and standing up for my rights as a woman. I've learned a lot and have fostered a dialogue with my friends because of what I've learned from you two. Keep it up. Too long didn't read. A great podcast. Thank you so much, at Audrey. That was, like, such a nice, kind, wonderful message to hear. We're so glad it's not only something that you like, but something that helps you build community with your people. So thank you for that. Another nice one from Aria BXL. This is really tiny print that I'm reading from, so maybe I messed that up. It's a smart and fun while still being an excellent resource for budding activists. Cool. Love it. And then this was also a 5-star review, but I'm not sure why, because somebody by the name of Suit Dude said, quote, and it's just like literally, you know, whatever, second quote, totally. And the title of that podcast review is "These People Have Communication Doctorates?" Question mark.
Totally.
like, you know, whatever.
Like, Rachel, I feel like sometimes people don't like it when women talk like how we talk, and for some reason, this talking like this like means that I'm dumb, which actually doesn't mean that at all. It means that we are accessible and don't sound like droning on old white men.
Right.
So excuse me, but thanks for the 5 stars.
Right. Yeah, I know. I was like, all right, you'll still give us 5 stars. That's cool. So yeah, I think it's real that we could probably like clean up our filler and maybe not stammer as much. That's mostly me. There's an And, but you know, I think people, most people like kind of don't mind it, but Suit Dude does mind it. So we hear you, Suit Dude. Also, it's also like every communication PhD or like grad student rolls their eyes at the idea that just because you have a PhD in communication studies means that you're going to be like perfect at speaking and interacting. And that's just like an example of how nobody knows what communication studies actually is. Like Melody and I study feminism in media. Like we don't like, yeah, we taught public speaking and whatever, but I just feel like it's just be, you know, I don't know. Does that make sense?
You're like embodying the review right now.
Yep. I'm being very meta.
No, I mean,
intentional.
Also, I think, you know, we listen to a lot of podcasts and there's different styles of podcasting. And I think with the normalizing of podcasts, it's become a lot more polished and professional, and people get like professional editors to fix their audio so they sound really good. And I could definitely go in, because I'm a master audio editor now, and like splice out all of our ums and pauses and stuff, and just make it seem like we are constructing full sentences without having to think. But that isn't realistic. And we don't use a script, which I like, because I can tell when people have scripted stuff. Like, it's so obvious on podcasts. And I think for news journalism podcasts, that's fine. But for some of them, when they sound too polished, it's like, that's not, I don't like podcasts like that. Like, I want to feel like I'm just hanging out with people in their living room. Like, that's the style that I like. And so.
I agree. Yeah. I think that's not for Suit Dude. So Suit Dude, do you? Maybe don't tune in again, find some more polished podcasts, but that's not us. But anyway, good or bad, we love the iTunes reviews. So thanks for that. How's your week been?
It's been fine. It's finals week, so I've been just, it's now at the point of the semester where I'm done with work as soon as I want to make work be done.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So I had to like organize a few presentation moments for my students. Oh my goodness, I have to tell you something about my week, about my finals.
That's what this time is for, please.
Okay, I'm going to racialize this. I don't know if it's racialized, so I'm just going to embody Michelle Pfeiffer for a moment, and I'm going to just be really real about that.
Okay.
So my student, we were giving like poster presentations in our class instead of, you know, I don't know, instead of papers or giving a speech.
Yeah.
So, and that's an academic thing that we do. And he's so smart, Mo. He walks into the classroom, I see him, and he's got his like art bag with him. And then when it's his turn to like, when it's his group's turn to like put their posters up, he's nowhere to be seen. I was like, what happened to Mo? And nobody knew where he went. And it's like, okay, that's weird. And then he came back after the final to talk to me. And he said, I just didn't think my poster was good enough. I was like, why? He's like, because it didn't have any words on it. And I said, that's fine. I told you all to be creative. Just because they had words on their posters doesn't mean that yours doesn't work. And he was just like, no. And he threw in a little thing about being nervous about presentations. But with a group format, I mean, you're just having a chit chat, you know?
Right.
And like, it's fine. And then he's just like, no, just my poster isn't good. I was like, dude, Chris was up there and he had he wrote Luke Cage in pencil. Like yours, I think whatever you did by default is better than his. You know, like I even threw a student under the bus like for him, you know?
Right.
And he's like, I don't know, it's just not good. And he did his project on J. Cole, who is a rapper.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar, a socially conscious rapper, for those of you out there who are unfamiliar. And I said, okay, well, just let me see your poster. Like, you're not going to get full points because you didn't show up, but like, let me see the poster. And he takes out this thing from his art bag. It's like
coal art, something.
Yeah.
Coal drawing. Yeah.
Of J. Cole, like a portrait.
Wow.
A portrait of him.
That's awesome.
And I was just like, my heart like kind of just shattered in so many ways, because I thought, who in his life ever told him that like something like this isn't quote unquote good enough, you know?
Right.
And I was like, Mo, the students would have loved this. Like, mm-hmm. they would have been so supportive of you. Like, I don't think you mm-hmm. understand, like, that people support you in this class. And then he starts laughing, and I was like, why are you laughing? He's like, why are you stressing about my grade? You stressing more than I am. I'm like, because you're super smart, and you're, like, doing this to, you know, like, this, yeah. it's just, ugh.
Yeah.
And I guess long story short is, it all those, like, kind of issues that we talk about tangentially, like, all got thrown in my face within this yeah. one guy.
Right.
And including the, like, why do you care about me so much thing?
Right.
And
I'm just right.
like, I just want to shake him and be like, ugh, like, you don't yeah. have to go to college, but, like, you are so smart. Figure right. something out. You know, I don't know who the totally. Haters are in your life, but you are like, yeah. So it was just so sad because
yeah.
he just thought that his stuff wasn't good enough, and it was probably better than everybody else's in the class in terms right. of dedication and time spent working on his creative right. outlet. So
totally, totally. Yeah, that is a sad and frustrating story. And yeah, I mean, I think it's legit for you to have a Michelle Pfeiffer moment because we live in a world that tells Black men they're not valuable for their minds, you know? So I think that makes sense. For those of you who are born before 1993, Melody is referencing the trope of the white savior complex made very present in the film Dangerous Minds, starring Michelle Pfeiffer, soundtracked by Coolio, in which...
Tell me why are we... In which he stole... I mean, he
stole... Did he steal that beat? Or that
melody is Stevie Wonder's.
Oh.
It's not Gangster's okay. Paradise. It's something other paradise. And,
oh, okay. Yeah.
Been spending most of their lives living in the past time.
Bummer. Did you get to keep the poster?
I did keep the poster because I said, what are you going to do with this? Because he didn't like it. And he's like, yeah. I'm going to throw it away. I'm like, I'm taking it then. And I hung it up yeah. in my office and I,
yeah,
whatever. Whether he hears it or not is like not my, you know, I just feel with those students now, it's like I've gotten so much more confidence as a teacher to just be like, this is your moment. Just tell them how you feel about them as a student. And however they react isn't your responsibility.
Right.
And they'll take it or leave it, you know?
Right. Yeah, totally.
So, but he is so yeah. smart. He carried around the Malcolm X autobiography for a couple weeks. That's and
awesome.
He's just like...
He sounds like the best.
The best. Okay, anyways, I yeah. took up way too much time as a white man telling you about that. So how are you?
That's okay. I'm fine. It's, for the most part, it's, yeah, also finals week. So just getting through grading. Grades are due Monday. So I'm working through that, almost at the finish line. So I'm feeling okay. But I'm teaching a winter semester, like a winter term online course. And so I'm prepping for spring. So like mm-hmm. as soon as I enter grades on Sunday, I'm just going to like get back to work like hardcore. And then the only other thing that happened this week that's like of note is something I'm technically like not supposed to talk about, I think. So I'll leave it super vague. Uh-huh. But I got a campus interview to a school. So academics know that's like a big deal because there's lots of steps and it's rare to get campus interviews because that means you're like in the top like 2 to 4 applicants. But I'm fucking freaking the fuck out because I don't know if I want to live in this place. And I've been in this situation before where we are socialized and trained to believe that any tenure track offer is a good offer and right. that you're just supposed to move to wherever the job is mm-hmm. and uproot your life no matter how many times it takes, as long as you get to be a professor and get paid shitty, et cetera. So I'm really stressing out and I don't even know if I'm going to go on the interview, let alone accept a job if I get an offer. So academics who listen to this podcast, maybe you're like nodding your head in solidarity or maybe you're cringing and saying I'm being ungrateful, and taking things for granted. But when you've been on the job market for 5 fucking years and have been like dicked around by academia, you have a different perspective on things. So I'm stressing out about that.
I'm sorry.
That's my update. Thank you. It's you had good worst. Advice for me until you realized that I had no secure employment next year.
My advice to Rachel was sending her Bitmojis that just said no.
Yes, which I really appreciated. And then I was like, yeah, but you know, it's like that or like no income next year. And Melody was like, oh,
maybe? And then I changed my, yeah, I changed my Bitmoji to maybe. But I was also wearing a Christmas tree as an outfit. So
right. It was really great.
That was also part of the advice.
Holiday Bitmojis from Melody and Rachel coming soon to a social media site near you.
Yeah. Watch out for that.
Yep. Anyway, so that's that. Any academics who listen, if you want to, like, send advice or thoughts or like, support, I'll take it. Who's ruining your dinner party this week?
How much time do you got? You got to put me on a time limit here. Well, always a shout out to what the fuck is going on in Aleppo with the...
Yeah.
Just fuck that. And
I know.
So, but I had, I just retweeted some stuff about the Aleppo cat man. Do you know about him?
No, I don't. Was he saving cats?
Oh yeah, God. He's alive. He's alive. Don't worry. He's alive.
Okay.
But it was so bad that he's been staying there this whole time to take care of cats and a few dogs. And he just left, like, yesterday. So he's on the outskirts of Aleppo. And he brought his cat, and I think a lot of the animals didn't survive. Because I think the sanctuary got bombed at some point.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do the, like, whose lives are more grievable or whatever. I mean, right. It fucking sucks that cats die and shit. But it just is really awful there. And it looks like a ton of people are getting evacuated. But, of course, the government's lying about who's still there and who's not there.
Think about the generations and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think if they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart. Also, okay, so this is actually who's ruining the dinner party. It's like two things. The first thing I will say is, if you're not familiar, the University of Minnesota football team, the Gophers, went on a boycott this week. They boycotted. They stopped playing. And you might remember that Mizzou's football team also boycotted recently due to some like racial injustice stuff happening on their campus. Our football team in Minnesota decided to boycott because 10 of their players got suspended from the team for being involved in a sexual assault. So the team thought it would be a really good idea to just, you know, be like,
protest,
you know,
that.
We stand with our players and we're not playing anymore because you didn't give them due process. And like the police didn't charge them just because the school decided to like, you know, suspend them doesn't mean that it's right, guys.
Yeah.
And then, so I've been having rage blackouts about that for like 48 hours and am like super distracted. Like I'm like raging and then I remember them and then I like do more research on them. And it's like a heavily reported story here in Minneapolis. So we get updates all the time on it.
Yeah.
But then the reason why they got suspended is because we have a equal opportunity office here at the U, which, I've worked with them before actually on one or two cases. And, they're very thorough investigators and they, did their own investigation that was separate from the Minneapolis Police Department. And of course, you know, the police, part of the reason why they didn't charge the guys initially is because one of them had a 90 second recording of a hour and a half assault in which the woman appeared to be like with it and like, just not passed out. Right. So now at this point, if you're not passed out and you're like, woo, you know, because you're, you know, being don't even get me started. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the reason why the cops didn't charge them primarily. And the restraining order even got dropped a little bit, to allow the football players to play. So this investigation though, by the U found a lot of fault. I mean, they interview everybody that they can with these investigations. Yeah. And what's interesting is when the report got leaked, because they're not supposed to be public, but in these cases, they often get leaked. It got leaked, and then all of a sudden, the boycott's over. They're not going to boycott anymore, and part of their statement...
Oh, really? I actually didn't hear that.
That just happened this morning. Yeah, this morning they said, we're going to end our boycott. They also have a big, well, it's, there's a lot of layers to it, but the EOAA report got made public, and that, those reports are graphic. Like they, they're lots of detail. Nothing ever gets redacted. Right. And so the details of it came out, and
is it just,
you
disgusting?
Can't argue. I won't even read it, but I can't, I mean, just the news reports that are kind of summarizing what's going on.
Right.
You can't, once you see that, you're like, really, that is what you're boycotting over? Is that behavior?
Yeah. Right. You know? Right. Yeah.
And so there's that. They also are supposed to be playing in a Holiday Bowl, which makes a lot of money. And so there's a lot of pressure. They also met with the president, President Kaler, who I don't like. But in this instance, he was very firm in saying, like, I don't, we're not going to release them. Like, they're still suspended. They're going to get expelled.
Wow. That's, I mean, I'm actually really pleasantly surprised, I guess, by that. The whole thing has been, just really disturbing. I only heard about it, I think, two days ago.
But that's when it happened. It's been this fast.
Yeah. So, you know what? I mean, it's just devastating that, like, such a powerful tool of, like, standing in unity and boycotting had to be used for such a shitty fucking purpose. Like, get your fucking shit together, football team. And it also is just sad because we taught so many of those Minnesota football players. And, like, I don't want to think about any of my students being little pieces of shit. So
the football players I taught were amazing. I mean, they
were. That's what I think, too. I loved all my football players.
But, you know, like, literally, it's the salt. You got to go with the team sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's definitely ruining the dinner party. That's for sure.
I'm pissed about that. The other thing I'm pissed about, I mean, we'll have to do a trigger warning. So also trigger warning now for trans hate speech. This guy from Breitbart, the senior editor from Breitbart, has been doing rounds at universities and is getting Republican or conservative groups to pay for him to come to the school.
This isn't that Milo guy, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's the super gay one. He's really gay, but super fucking racist and bigoted and piece of garbage.
Yeah. So he came. So my other school that I graduated from, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, he was just there. And he is just a POS, just to begin with. But the reason why I'm extra angry is because he outed a trans person who was present at his talk.
That's so fucked.
In protest, but was present and put their picture up on the screen and talked about why they are a bad person. And it was because this person had made news because they are M to F and was using the women's locker room and the sauna, and they were asked to cover up their gender non-conforming parts of their body.
Wow.
And was brave enough to advocate for themselves and other trans students. Pulled out of the school, is now going somewhere else for college. But obviously that's a very traumatic experience to be
completely
told. And the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee is just doing it all wrong. Like, they're just, the leadership is just screwing this whole, from the beginning with the sauna thing, that's where the gender non-conforming aspects of the body were revealed, I guess. And I'm saying that with a sarcastic tone because I feel, whatever. Oh, and they were also, they said if you could just, like, put a shield up, maybe we'll put a curtain up so then you could, like,
oh my God.
So you can still use the locker room, but you'll be shielded.
How can a fucking university be so incompetent? I mean, that you can literally, like, hire, or, like, you can literally fucking ask the fucking LGBT center on campus, like, how do we deal with this? Or, like, fucking pay a professional, because there are people who fucking, like, do that work. So, like, what the fuck? I mean, how can giant places like universities or giant corporations still fuck up? Like,
well, I don't know. I mean, I think the bathroom thing is one issue in terms of fucking up like that. That is new water. I'm not, this is no defense for the university. It's new water. They're not, they need to reach out and get consultants or professors or, like you said, the center that can, like, advise them on this.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of resources for them to deal with that. So, yeah, they didn't need to do that. They clearly messed up to the point where the student was so distraught that they dropped out and they transferred schools.
Right.
But the second thing about how now that student is getting called out by this, you know, fuckhead of a person in a giant room with hundreds of people in it, they knew that they had a feeling that he was going to do that. And the student, the trans student, like, was part of the protest against him coming. And they warned the chancellor. They're like, he's going to do something. He's going to, like, out one of us. Like, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But the university, I'm really interested in this from a legal standpoint, because I'm also dealing with this at my school, is, like, I believe this, that universities are not allowed to ban speakers that students bring in based on their political views and values.
Right.
So if we had, you know, the modern day Malcolm X come to our school, they can't say he can't come, even if he's, you know, promoting Malcolm X's ideas. Right. So that makes me feel good, but, you know, that also allows people like the Breitbart people to come to school.
Yeah.
And they warned, but they warned him. They're like, it's going to be bad. Like, it's going to be hate speech. Like, you're going to have to deal with this now. And the chancellor's, like, response after it all happened was, you know, basically saying it's against the law for us to ban him. And other schools try to get him not to come strategically. Like, they make security really expensive, and so the student organizations can't afford it.
Yeah.
That's what happened at North Dakota. But he's awful. The only reason I listened to him was because my friend Brian stood up during his speech and just wouldn't stop yelling at him for 20 minutes.
Oh, good for Brian.
Yeah, Brian is a cis white dude that, like, is the best because he does shit like that. And he looks like he's a cis white dude, so he passes and he gets, genius.
Right.
But my God, that guy is so...
He's horrible. He went to, there was a huge thing about it because he went to DePaul, and DePaul students, like, are not about that shit. So they tried to shut it down, and it was just like this, basically a standoff, and it was of black students. And I think some black queer students, and allies trying to shut it down. And it was just a fucking train wreck. And he is, human garbage, human fucking garbage, like everybody else at Breitbart. And now part of the presidential cabinet. Doing great. Not Milo. Milo. Whatever. I don't even know how to pronounce it.
I didn't even want to give him a name because he sucks so...
Yeah. Anyway, we should move on because that's a lot of rage and definitely ruining the dinner party. So, yeah. Fuck that noise.
Rachel, please tell me if I'm stressed out and having a rage blackout and then transfer that energy to my family gatherings. How can I?
Right. that was a great effort at a transition.
Thank you.
Another way we can transition is to give a shout out to one of our listeners and Facebook group members, Allison, who asked this question on Facebook. It was a much longer version than what I'll say. But their basic question was, how do you all deal with burnout, particularly as a student, an activist, a leader on campus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it'd be great to talk about how we deal with burnout, Melody, as teachers, activists, et cetera. And then also just sort of generally broaden this conversation into how we deal with stress, particularly around the holidays or just in the world that we live in, and what we do for self-care in those moments. So when you think of activist burnout, how have you managed that? Or activist / school / work, et cetera?
Well, I guess I will start by saying that my burnout came at like a, I like had a meltdown, you know? So I think the, I like was pushing myself so hard through grad school. And then all of a sudden one day I just cracked. And then I was just, it was just like in pieces. And then all I could do was like binge watch Friday Night Lights in the summer, you know? And so I think, unfortunately, if you don't do some of the stuff that Rachel and I are going to talk about, if you haven't hit that like bottom, bottoming out that I hope you never reach, it will happen to you. And I see it happening around me a lot that people are just pushing themselves. But to answer your question, is it was really difficult for me, but I had to talk to myself about focusing more on self-care and talking myself through the idea that if I missed X action or X protest or X meeting, that the movement wasn't going to collapse, that people would not write me off as a slacker, you know, that things would still move on. And that if you just say you need some time to yourself, nobody actually cares. Technically, although I know in some activist circles, depending where you are, kind of the guilt of continually working is subtle and, you know, pervasive and really hard to get yourself out of. And so at some points you just have to create boundaries for yourself. And sometimes that means stepping out of certain groups that you don't, that just are pushing people too fast, too much, and don't allow for breaks. I know there's an organization here that I talk a lot about, Neighborhoods Organizing for Change, and they push their organizers very hard, but they get a whole month off during the holidays.
Yeah, that's cool. That's,
you know what really I mean? Cool. And so that's a signal that your organization or your group is understanding. So things like, but anyways, personally, is just kind of talking myself through things, you know, like, and also not saying yes as a reflex, you know? So people are like, who can come to this event tomorrow? Yes. Right. Cause you're like, what else is more important than Black Lives Matter or No Dapl or whatever, you know, whatever cause that you're integrated in? It's easy to talk yourself into it because it's like going grocery shopping or cooking food is not more important than racial injustice, right? So you, but you just have to be real with yourself and say, sometimes it is more important to go grocery shopping because if I don't have food, I can't continue on.
Exactly. In the movement. Yeah. I think, I feel like I would have to answer this sort of in two different ways because I, you know, I still consider myself an activist. But I'm certainly not nearly as like in the streets as I used to be. So, I feel like I partly because I just insist on other, some of the forms of self-care that, that we'll talk about and partly because of where I live. And having to work multiple jobs, but, I will speak to when I was, I think much more involved in activist work as an undergrad dealing with, school, dealing with work, with activism, and with, you know, maintaining friendships, et cetera, I would also get to the point of just like meltdowns and freaking out about time and managing everything. And I will say, and we'll bring this up later, that allowing myself time to go to the gym was honestly, I felt so guilty about it. And I talked to one of my most treasured activist mentors, Giuseppe, shout out to you. I love you so much. And he, I will never forget this response. He, and he said something like, you got to be in good shape for the revolution or something like, you know, like you got to be able to run away from the pigs. Like you got to be, you know, like that's fine. Like go to the gym, do you. And that's like a very like ableist response. And I understand that. And I actually, we're hoping to have an episode to talk about, disability and activism, in the near future. So I'll, you know, asterisk that with that sort of note. But but for folks who are able to do that, that really saved me in undergrad. And granted, I had a little bit of a complicated relationship with exercise at the time, but mostly it was like super helpful. And then the other thing that I'll say about all of that is that if you are a person that feels like you need some kind of like a social life, which I have always felt like I needed to not feel super isolated, is to find ways to like make your activist communities like let that like treat that also as social. Like we We would have, you know, parties where we would, you know, it would be a potluck where we like made signs or, you know, so we like really integrated, social community building, with like the work that we had to do, stuffing envelopes, making signs, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think those things were super helpful for me. And at this point in my life, when I don't go to many meetings and I am not out in the streets nearly as much as I wish I could be, it has been a huge practice in acceptance that I just don't have a lifestyle currently, that allows me to do that and still feel like a sane person. That's also ableist language. And still feel like a centered, grounded person. So, yeah, so that's, I mean, it's not easy, Allison, and thank you for that question. But I do, I think that ability to say no is so huge.
Yeah. And, I just wanted to also suggest a zine that exists that might be really useful for a lot of people. It's with Microcosm, and it's called Stressed and Overwhelmed: Good Habits for the Exhausted Overachiever. And I can say this zine would have been really helpful for me a couple years ago. I think I have undone some of the overachiever in me and just been more realistic about what I'm doing is good enough. And what I do and what the listener does is probably 10 times more than anybody else does. And I kind of got real with myself about that as well. But at any case, this zine is awesome. It's $3. Stress and Overwhelm: Good Habits for the Exhausted Overachiever. And Ellie has some good, it like just feels nice to hear from somebody who also is going through this like head spin of like super, super busy all the time, but also offers some really good tips and tricks on how to manage it. And it's really, she really focuses on like organizing yourself, like focusing on self-care, but also just having an organizational system. And if things fall out of that system, that means you're doing too much and you have to say no to something, you know?
Totally.
And if that means... Go ahead. Okay. with the readings, because, you know, Rachel and I also were reading hundreds of pages, you know, a week. Just being more strategic about, you don't have to read every page. You know what I mean? Like, just getting more strategic about it. Like, they're not going to know that you didn't read the whole book. And if you didn't, you have 85 excuses for why you didn't, and you're still going to get through school, and you're still going to graduate, and it's going to be fine, you know?
Yeah.
And you really just got to be more, just be more real about that, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to do everything perfectly, and you'll get by just fine. I did that. It's fine. It's cool. You'll be good.
Right. Yeah, I second that wholeheartedly. I also just wanted to make a quick side note about Microcosm. If you can find that zine Melody mentioned, like, photocopied for free. Apparently, Mel, I'm guessing I don't know if you know this, but...
I know.
Yeah, so some people don't want to give their money to Microcosm because the owner... Can I say this or should...
That's fine.
Yeah, the owner has been... is an abuser and has not been... accountable. So, maybe if you don't want to give your money there, maybe try to find that zine for free. But in general, back to the sort of, the tips, I think those are sort of our real life, responses to those things. So more broadly, sort of outside of just like the burnout of being an activist and a student and working, sort of stress in general, maybe, particularly around the holidays or particularly in light of the election, which I know we talked about, but just the sort of general state of anxiety and sadness that I think a lot of us are dealing with, around this time. Do you have any, should we just sort of jump into responding to other self-care tips more generally?
Yeah, for the holidays, definitely. I think that'd be a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll start. I had a little list. So I'll start with something that we've talked about before. Yoga is obviously a thing that Melody and I both really love. We could say like yoga and exercise together, but yoga in particularly can be a very sort of gentle and grounding way to get you away from the thoughts in your head and like the actual space that you're in, whether it's with family members that you don't agree with or whatever. Every time I've traveled for the holidays every year of my life since I was 18, I've gone back home for Christmas. So I'm never in my own space. I don't have my, you know, I don't have my food. I don't have my surroundings, which is very difficult for me, sort of in the type of person that I am. And every single year I make time to do yoga or do some kind of workout in the morning so that I can just like have my own alone time and like get some endorphins, get some sort of centering breathing in, and it's super helpful. So yoga is one thing. And you can do that for free in a tiny bedroom in your, you know, grandparents' house or wherever you're at.
And I would say to add to the yoga thing is to, if you don't have a yoga practice, to just do some deep breaths. So if you're like getting really frustrated with one of your family members, or you're just like, it's just too much because you're in the suburbs and you're used to being in the city, speaking from experience, just go in the bathroom and just take like a lot of deep breaths. That really helps.
Totally.
Just breathe in, hold it for a couple seconds, and breathe out. That actually does wonders. But I also am a big proponent of leaving the house. And this is something that it's like a boundary thing that is weird at first if your family's not used to you like leaving the house when you're there. But I just do it anyways. I'll just say I'm going for a walk, you know, and sometimes my brothers come with me, sometimes they don't. And I just like walk. I don't care. And it's, if it's cold, I don't care. It just gets me out of that space. And that helps a lot too. So just go for a walk, go get a cup of coffee. And if people give you a hard time or they try, who cares? Just leave because you're going to be in a better mood. Because I can't tell you from experience how many times I've had like meltdowns at one of my parents' houses and just have like lost it. And then I'm crabby and then everybody else gets crabby. I bring everybody down with me. And so it's just better if you leave the house and just take some breaks.
Totally second that. Another thing you could do, whether it's for the holidays or just the general state of the world, if you're feeling just sort of anxious and stressed and whatever, is every time I read my horoscope, the particular horoscope
astrologers.
Chani Nicholas and Galactic Rabbit are my two favorite horoscope sites. They're really beautiful, like essays basically that you get every week or every month, depending. And they're really grounding, whether you believe in astrology or not. I like really recommend reading your horoscope if you're super cynical about it and like roll your eyes, then don't do it. It won't like bring you any peace. But even if you're just like kind of whatever about it, just reading it, because I don't even, and or reading any of them, even if it's not like your sign or you don't care about like believing in that, just reading the sort of messages that Chani Nicholas in particular is just like this fierce social justice advocate who brings like anti-racism and feminism into her readings. And just the messages she gives you to just like make it through your week are just really beautiful and really inspiring and help me sort of frame how I'm going to move through the day or the week or whatever. So that's sort of like one kind of like woo-woo witchy thing that I do that is really helpful. And some other like woo-woo witchy things that I do is I really believe in crystals. So if you're interested in that, look up. You can get really inexpensive crystals at a store or online. And they are sort of go in line with the chakras in your body. So the energy points, you can get different crystals that work with, you know, if you're feeling like heart issues, if you're feeling sad about family stuff, if you're feeling confidence issues or anxious, there's a chakra and a crystal for that. So there's, you could read about that. And I actually find those quite helpful, even if it's like placebo effect. I enjoy it, whether it's like lighting a candle that matches that chakra or getting a crystal that helps with that chakra point. Those are really helpful. So those are some witchy woo-woo things that I do. If you're into prayer, like actual legit prayer to anything at all, that can be really grounding and helpful too. Anything to add to that category of witchy stuff?
I guess with the prayer thing too, I've done this where I like some people, if you're not religious, I mean, I got it from like the 12-step program that I'm in. So I would just give a shout out if you are in one to maybe like utilize some of those tools that you know exist. And I'm kind of like in and out of mine right now, but this like concept of just like talking to the universe, even if it's a bunch of BS, like Rachel was saying, even if it's placebo, I think it helps to just like go in the bathroom. I like the bathroom. The bathroom is like the one time where mm-hmm. you're by yourself mm-hmm. and just be like, dear universe, I'm feeling stressed. Please tell my mom to shut up. And she's and it just like helps, you know, like yeah. to just like give it over to somebody else, even if it's just like a blade of grass or the like mm-hmm. woo-woo sky, you know, mm-hmm. it just helps. And if, and you know, at this point, if you're like freaking out at your house, wherever you're at, anything is better than doing nothing than just like mm-hmm. sitting there and like slamming drinks or like getting mm-hmm. all worked up. And I would also say like, my brother does this a lot. Like he'll just leave. He'll just be like, I'm going mm-hmm. home now. And, like, mm-hmm. everybody's like, what? But, like, he's ready to go. And he's leaving. Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. you know, how we feel about that is on us. And he's just taking care of himself. And he just sleeps.
Right.
And he's done. Yeah. And yeah. he doesn't like being pressured to do stuff. And if you start pressuring him to do stuff, he leaves. You know? So
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
that, you know, yeah. I, whatever it takes to get you through the holidays. And I know some people it's hard. And I've grappled with this too, like not going home for the holidays, mm-hmm. you know, depending on how my family's doing. And it's hard. And I know like some people listening might think like, oh my God, it would be amazing if I could spend the holidays by myself. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, you are welcome to do that. You're not responsible mm-hmm. for other people's reactions, but it's hard not, you know, even though I say that, it's really hard to hear other people's reactions when you say you're not mm-hmm. going home, because a lot of families put so much weight on this stupid holiday that's based on capitalism and consumerism and
yeah.
So, yeah,
yeah,
just even if you don't believe real. In this stuff, just try it and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. And then I would also say, I've also in the past just like brought a book like Howard Zinn's People of the History of the United States and just sat on the couch and just read, you know, mm-hmm. so I'm like still present with my people, but mm-hmm. I'm like reading, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I've used
definitely
grading, yeah, you know, anything to just be like, oh, I'm busy, but I'm here, but I'm like not totally here if you don't feel like being present.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think books in general are great. I love magazines like around particularly around the holidays because I like to read like holiday Martha Stewart and stuff like that because that makes me just feel really like cozy and comfortable in a way that I don't usually. Magazines are great because you don't have to like super concentrate and you can just sort of like be connected to like pages. If you feel like the internet or like Netflix or something can be helpful for you, cool. I would say that whether it's the holidays or just in general, I find that sometimes like that stuff can be really helpful in turning my brain off, but being on my computer, particularly like on Facebook where, well, the world is the way that it is, has been making me super anxious. And we talked about this a little bit around the election, but, forcing yourself to like go to bed early. And again, this isn't necessarily about holiday travel or whatever, but forcing yourself to like turn off your computer early and like read a book that doesn't have a live news feed of shit going on mm-hmm. has been really, really helpful for me. My anxiety, like I've struggled with anxiety on and off for like a while, but it's usually not an everyday thing for me, but lately it's been pretty bad and it's just so much better when I turn my computer off. And just like read a book in bed or like look at a magazine or like write out Christmas cards. So anyway, that's just, you know, distractions that are healthy, you know, and if you're a person who like some sort of substances feel healthy to you, cool. But like we wanted to give lots of other things to do before that. Last thing I'll say, because I think we covered a lot of good stuff, is I did just want to give a shout out or sort of like a plug to our friends of the podcast, Lacey Davis, another person that she's working with, are doing a reset and restore program, which I did a couple years ago, and I absolutely loved it. This isn't until January, but it's still like a good way to sort of decompress after the holidays. Mm-hmm. What it is not like a diet program. That is definitely what it is not. What it is a way for you to get more intuitive about your relationship to what you eat and your body and your mind, not in any sort of restrictive way. I mean, Lacey's whole like mission in life is to like resist diet culture. So it's really not about that at all, but it is about like, how can we eat in ways that make us feel good? Even if that means eating cookies, maybe that's what makes you feel good, but like just knowing that and paying attention. And there's also like meditation included in the program and, like recipes if you want them, I think a meal plan if you want them, a free coaching set, well, free part of the program is a coaching session. So anyway, I wanted to give that shout out because, they would love to have, Lacey specifically asked a couple of the feminist podcast that exists in our world to promote it, because they'd love to have listeners from our show be a part of it. So if you're interested in that, we can put the link in our show notes and or on our Facebook group. So it's just a really good in terms of self-care, when I did it, it was like 3 weeks of super self-care and just being really mindful about what I did, what I said, what I ate, what I, you know, and in very positive ways. So shout out to that program as like a very tangible material way to implement some of these self-care practices. So that's that. Any last things on self-care? We can always come back to this. There's so much more to say.
No, just breathe and set boundaries.
Breathe and set boundaries. Totally, totally set boundaries. We also have some advice from some friends of the podcast, specifically to our queer listeners. I emailed some of my queer pals, my queer family, and asked if they had any advice for getting through the holidays. And so we have a little sort of audio segment of some voicemails they left me. I asked them some questions about with like specific prompts. So some of them say that. So that's what they're referring to. But enjoy that. And enjoy the holidays if you can, if you celebrate. Melody, you think we'll be back after the new year or maybe have one more episode? What do you think?
No, I quit.
No.
Hey, you're weird. This is Timothy.
We'll be back soon in the next couple weeks.
Even for someone ish. Like me. Who's
yes, we will.
Super, all right. WTF power?
We don't get shit for that, which is really pretty cool. But even for someone like me, the holidays can be really long and really, really kind of tiring. So I really love to see my family, and they're really cool. We laugh a lot. We drink a lot now that we're all over 21. And we generally like talk about cute celebrities and politics a lot. Come from a pretty progressive family. But even the best of us still sometimes need to just get away. And so when I need to get away and need to take some time to remember my life outside of my family, I walk away, take a deep breath, kind of center myself and find that kind of energy in being alone for a little bit, and then know that I've got my really wonderful queer chosen family also back home where I live, away from my family. And so that's kind of how I get through the holidays, even though it's oftentimes a happy time for me as a queer person. Don't ever lose sight that sometimes it's difficult for everyone, no matter what your situation is. And it's always really nice for me even to like go back to my queer family in Pennsylvania and have a good time with them and do our own thing. We play board games a lot, and there's nothing like a bunch of queer people around a table playing a stupid tabletop game for 3 hours. That's also a really fun way to heal and just kind of recenter and after the holidays. I love you folks. Take care and hang in there, because we need you. There's a lot of social justice work to do, and the older queers can't do it by themselves. So hang in there. We love you. Take care. Bye.
Hi, this is Michael. I'm calling to respond to the prompt about the best self-care that I can offer, or advice that I can offer before, during, and after an event with the family. So I took this because it's something that I struggle with a lot, and it's something that now, after many years of experience, I realize that the fundamental aspect is to listen to yourself. The weeks leading up to an event that you feel obligated that you need to go to, or that you want to go to, but it's causing you some distress, that time is really important for self-care, whatever that is for you, whatever that means to you, whether that's yoga or meditation or going to the gym or getting some extra sleep or getting some TV time in or whatever that is, something that grounds you and makes you feel comfortable so as you're thinking about this event, you can truly decide whether it's worth putting yourself through. And I think the biggest thing that we forget is that we have a choice whether or not we actually proceed with the event. And as hard as that is, and the aftermath of choosing not to attend it, sometimes the best decision is to avoid it altogether. And if there's an event where you feel like you can't avoid it, but that is just not an option whatsoever, you need to have a game plan. You need to have a before, during, and after game plan. And I mean immediately before. What can you do directly before the event, the day before, in the morning before, hours before, that make you feel so comfortable, or at least attempt to make you feel comfortable, and do those things and stick to those things. And then don't just leave it at that and then, you know, just hope for the best. Have an exit strategy during, not a complete exit strategy, but something that will allow you to take a moment in the middle of the event and remind yourself that this is temporary, that you are okay, that you are safe, and don't return to the event until you feel like it's okay. And if you take that pause and you're like, you know what, I can't do this anymore, I'm going to start to do something self-destructive, then honor that as best you can and find a legitimate exit strategy. Then afterwards, once you leave, think of the most healthiest thing that you could do for yourself.
Hi, this is Logan. The way I deal with family gatherings or just take care of myself during family get-togethers and the holidays, one thing I try to make sure to schedule some me time or have an excuse ready for me time, whether it's some work that I need to do or a phone call I need to take, but there's no real phone call. Just try to make sure to schedule some time that's just for me, so I can either leave the house or go to a quiet room and just recharge. I also have some favorite websites that I like. There's one called Calming Manatee, like the animal, and it's just pictures of manatees that say nice things. And then another one called Emergency Compliment that are just funny compliments that are auto-generated and you can click through and get a bunch. I always think those are funny. A friend of mine has a really good strategy. She calls Unicorn Chasers. Shout out to my friend Mal. And so what she does is she'll post on Facebook. This is often how it comes up. She'll post on Facebook that she needs some unicorn chasers. And for her, what they are, just like things that are funny or make you smile or whatever. And so then she'll get like a whole thread full of people commenting pictures of cats or pictures of dogs or memes or things that they think are funny. Really, really gay things, you know, whatever it is, it's going to make you feel better. And that way you can kind of get all your friends involved in the helping you cheer up or take care of yourself too. And that always seems to turn into like a good thread for everyone participating. So I like that one a lot. So those are my suggestions. All right. Good luck, everybody.
Hey, this is Emily Joy, and I'm calling from Battle Creek, Michigan, and I feel super grateful to be on this podcast with the rest of the queer crew. I want to respond to two of the prompts and kind of respond to them together in a full swoop, so I'm going to tackle these two. If your family is awesome, what makes them awesome, number one, and number two, what does chosen family mean to you, and how do you celebrate with chosen family? So, my family is awesome because they are chosen family. We are a mixture of family by blood and by choice. And the only blood relatives that I hang out with are the blood relatives that I love that don't fuck me up. And the people that I choose are also people that I love that don't fuck me up. And the reason that I love my family is because they love me and they don't fuck me up. So One of the things that I want to say about Chosen Family is that I was not born into a traditional nuclear family, and so a traditional nuclear family was never the precedent set for me. And because I see so many queer people struggle with kind of this internalized supremacy of the notion of the traditional nuclear family, you know, I have a lot of gratitude that I don't have that, because as a queer person, I've never felt like I had to fit into that, and I haven't really done a lot to distort the kind of queer notions of family that I've always kind of had. You know, have I made some mistakes in partnering? Yes. You know, have I struggled to find what works for me? Yes. But I think all of that's pretty normal, if I dare use that word on a queer podcast. The big takeaway for me basically is that queer family is like the right kind of family, no matter your sexual orientation or your gender identity. Like, choosing people that love you instead of being around people that fuck you up should be what we all strive for. And so I'm pretty unapologetic about that boundary. And I just want to extend permission to anybody else out there who's trying to make decisions about what family looks like, how family should feel, that basically anything that messes with your mental health shouldn't be in your life, and the things that ground you in love should be in your life in abundance. So with that, happy holidays out there to all my fellow queers and allies. Much love.
I've begun to worry right where I should be grateful, I should be satisfied. Oh, my heart, I would clap and dance in place with my friends. I have so much pleasure to embrace. But my heart is returned to Sister Winter. But my heart is as cold as summertime, when I kissed your ankle, I kissed you through the night. All my gifts I gave, everything to you. Your strange imagination, you threw it all away. Now my heart all my friends, I've returned to Sister Winter. All my friends, I apologize, apologize. All my friends, I've returned to Sister Winter. All my friends, I apologize.
And my friend,
listening to Feminist Killjoy's PhD. Okay, stop.